Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to have fun today. I have a guest, and we just decided that we're going to have a good time talking about the future in ways that a lot of people really are so curious, maybe even frightened. There's a lot of fear going on this planet right now, and we don't know about all this coming change that's happening, and we see it happening all around us. So is it worth being fearful about? What do you think, Alan Steinfeld of New Realities?
Well, you know, the future is the unknown. And the unknown has always been fearful for those who live in the past, because they're basing the future on what they know of the past. But what's so curious about the future is that that there's always new realities emerging. There's always new possibilities, always new inventions, new science, new discoveries that we haven't thought of before. That's what creates the future. So I think the future is always a beautiful possibility. I think it's always an upliftment and a new direction that we can tune into if we recognize the patterns of the past and understand how we can recreate or create something different.
And understanding these patterns is important because it makes us smarter.
Right.
And so much of what we're doing now is recognizing patterns that haven't worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't worked, but and your work, I think, Peter, is a lot about seeing patterns in people emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and now we have to see it on a planetary level. What hasn't worked for us exactly? Well, oil hasn't worked. The level of energy, the types of energy we've been using hasn't worked. I mean, we need energy to run our evolving society, but nuclear energy, we're looking at the disaster right now.
Well, I have a question, Alan.
Yeah, sure.
What is working?
Well, I think the Internet's working. I think the Internet is a new level of communication that's bringing the planet together. It's creating those revolutions in the Middle East. I mean, that is a new paradigm. So we have to look at what has worked and what hasn't worked and focus on where we're going with what's worked. I mean, cooperation has worked for humanity. Lynn McTaggart, who's going to be on my television show soon with her new book called The Bond, said it's communities and cooperation that makes evolution, not competition. So what's worked is creating bigger societies that include more people and acknowledge the individual and give us freedom.
So I guess there's been enough that has worked that we can point to and say, let's work on that. Mm-hmm. You know, so Lynn is talking about community, and I think the future really is to downsize into smaller, sustainable environments.
Exactly. That's the beauty of the Internet. We created cities and civilizations in order to be so centralized, but now we have a technology where we can still stay connected and start to decentralize and have the same level of connectedness that we've had while we've lived on top of each other and, plundered the landscape and ruined the environment.
Right. So. And now we have to restore life to the degree that we can. But then again, you know, there are threats to that interconnectedness. There are threats to maintaining electric grids and energy and even to keep the Internet going.
Right. I mean, what we need are the geniuses to come forth and say, I got a new idea about this or this or this. I mean, mostly new ideas are rejected. When the Wright brothers said they flew their airplane, everyone laughed at them and said, how can you fly a heavier-than-air machine up off the ground? Or the telephone. I mean, new things have generally been not been able to fit into the paradigm. So what I'm trying to do with New Realities is explore what the paradigm looks like. And I love what your work is about, spiritual realities, because we have to include the spirit in the next evolution of our culture.
And advanced science, too.
Well, spirit and science, yeah.
Yeah, and they're merging. Mm-hmm. And that's so beautiful. And so there's this need right now to burst forward with new in ways that help everyone with also not having to continue the same paradigms.
Right. I mean, exactly. We don't know where the news is going to come from, but we have to stay open to possibilities and new ideas. I mean, often on my show, I talk about UFOs and crop circles and the idea that perhaps, or most likely, they're here and they're trying to talk to us, but so many people are resistant that they have to come and go through our cultural barriers and leave us to digest who and what's there. So we are getting help, but they're not doing it to clean up our planet for us. But they are here. I mean, the level and the degree of UFO sightings around the world have increased within the last 2 years. And crop circles and the sophistication that's coming through these images, it's saying, hey, we're here and we're talking to you in a symbolic language.
Well, this is something else that we have to address. I had a guest recently, Mary Rodwell.
Oh, I like
her. Who works with exceptional children who are connected to all of this strange phenomena going on.
We have to acknowledge anomalies. You know, in the 1800s, they said it was impossible for rocks to fall from the sky. And then suddenly someone said, oh, there's meteorites. So our level of thinking has to be adjusted, and we can't embrace what we don't acknowledge. So if we're rejecting the idea that these UFO sightings are fictitious, then we're not embracing the next level of consciousness that seems to be coming to us.
Well, that's the point, is that there is so much going on. We're ready to explode with new technology, and it's amazing how much has been repressed for years and years and years that can't be repressed anymore. Even the company that I'm working with has the breakthrough for fusion technology. Mm-hmm. And we were shocked that our patent was published rather than black boxed.
Well, that means things are changing, but are the oil companies ready to let go of their hold on their energy monopoly?
Well, it's a losing battle for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, obviously there are people in those organizations that realize that they have to start embracing the future and maybe join in a partnership with future technologies so that they can be powerful in that way.
Imagine how the world will change if we have free energy, cold fusion, whatever it is that people are creating, energy from water. I mean,
right.
It would be a whole different culture. But what I mean, yes, it's a losing battle, but there's still such a firm grip on the consciousness of people.
It's a losing battle for who?
For the oil companies.
Oh, right.
Eventually.
Eventually it is, because there's only so much oil, and without destroying the environment. And
right, but it seems like these, like you said, new technologies are being suppressed. There is free energy, right? I mean, you've seen.
Well,
that.
There are. Yeah, the technology exists.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how it will manifest in communities. Maybe if we do have small communities, each community can have its free energy generator.
Why can't we put a windmill on top of the roof in New York City and get wind power? I mean, they're making these small adaptable windmills that you can supply all the electricity you need for your apartment.
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's so much here, but there's such a thing in place, such a hold in place over governments, over politicians, that's not allowing our society to evolve. And we're seeing it in the Middle East. We're seeing what happens when people are suppressed. But, you know, we have the illusion of freedom. So, you know, that's more suppressive.
Well, what's happening, I was thinking about the Tea Party today and how they seem to be well-meaning, but they don't realize what they're striving for is to upset what hasn't worked before, but they don't have an idea of how to change that.
Well, I actually, you know, I heard of the Tea Party, but I don't have any idea what they're trying to do or what they stand for.
Well, it's like a Reagan-based thing that mm-hmm. says government doesn't work and is soaking up all our money, so therefore we don't want to pay any more taxes. We don't want to have a lot of money in the government because they don't use it properly, so we'll just kill it off.
We're going to just kill the government?
Yeah, basically.
And replace it with what?
Well, with local.
local.
You know, yeah, you know, like they're more into states' rights, and you know, but then when they get in charge of state governments, they're doing the same thing. They're reducing taxes, especially for the wealthy, and therefore reducing services, and so they're killing off all of the strength of education and public works and all the things that money can do, because they have this idea that government doesn't work.
Well, I don't know what to do about politics, actually. My piece or inroads is changing the way people think about the nature of reality itself, and I think politics and science will follow.
Right, but what I was getting at is that I think that thought process of change is very pervasive in the Middle East. They want to change these governments, but we don't have the sophistication or the knowledge how to put that new into place.
No, that's a process of civilization. We don't. I think it's always a learning process, especially when something new that hasn't been here before tries to manifest. It certainly didn't manifest with communism, which sounded like a great idea. Everyone shares everything. But when it's imposed, like it was through, you know, Eastern Europe, it was a disaster.
Well, it's also, you know, it's a consciousness, the same old consciousness of people in power using it and repressing the people who don't have it. And that continues. So we're still in this old Piscean age consciousness.
Yeah.
And we're about to move into a new age that has much more to do with sharing and horizontal communication, not vertical, not hierarchical. Mm-hmm. And yet we're still not there yet, so we don't know quite how to hold it, but the glimmer is there, and we're all striving for change. We just don't know yet how it's going to manifest.
Well, that's an important point, but I think what we do need to do, based on what you said, is look for the elements that are emerging. Okay, where's this piece here? What looks good here? I don't mean the Tea Party, but I mean cooperation and decentralization. And I think as these pieces appear, the dots that would connect them start to come into shape. And all we need to do is let go of what hasn't worked and grasp the next rung of the ladder.
There are entrenched interests. And that's the biggest problem, is that we're not free yet. And so you and I understand the need for consciousness shifting. Mm. And it's really the only way that I think we can move forward is for some enlightenment to happen. And we're expecting it. You know, the 2012 is really a lot about new frequencies affecting this planet that will affect all of us consciously.
Well, I think actually you're right. 2012 is as we move more into levels of galactic. I mean, because, you know, the Earth and the Sun are moving throughout the spin of the Milky Way. And as that happens, I think it activates greater senses in our brain, which create new levels of thought. And one of the big things, whether anything happens on December 21st, 2012 or not, which is the is the prophesied
date,
what that whole thinking has done is orientate us to a galactic awareness. Okay, so for so long we've been Earth-centric, or then, you know, our sun and the Earth, but now it's a much bigger ball game. And what that does, what that level of thinking does, is open us up to new possibilities. The work of Nassim Harmim talks about black hole physics. That includes a bigger playing field. And as we embrace these new theories and develop new technologies on these ideas, our society will change.
Well, you know, this whole consciousness we think of as happening on this planet, and consciousness is universal. Mm-hmm. And so whatever is happening here is really not just happening here. It can't, because that's thinking like the sun goes around the Earth. And we're the, and you know,
and that's and, the end
and,
of it.
And God is our God.
Right.
And, you know, and everything is based on us. And so as consciousness shifts, it's our consciousness that is shifting. But that's limited thinking.
I agree, and that's a lot of your work is based on the fact that consciousness is universal, and it's not limited to Earth or the three dimensions, and life itself is an emergent property of creation. It doesn't just exist on planet Earth. And if life doesn't just exist, then of course consciousness, which is the sentient quality of life, is also pervasive. Exactly. And when we recognize that, which means we acknowledge ourselves in terms of a galactic or cosmic brotherhood or community.
Even beyond galactic.
Beyond interdimensional, whatever you want to call it.
Universal.
When we acknowledge that, we start to open portions of our own brain, which some people have done, that acknowledge those existences, and then the culture will change into a non-materialistic
one. That's so important. And I live that, and it's hard to explain it to people who don't. But we can live more multidimensionally. All of us.
Consciously. But explain what you mean by that.
Okay, because I work intuitively, and so there are things that I know that I wouldn't know because I'm given information, both personally and planet-wise. There are things that I'm told that my brain hasn't deduced.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from beyond my brain.
Right.
And you might say, oh, that's too far out. Well, it proves itself all the time. I have people I sit with all the time who I give intuitive information to, and they can't imagine how I would have any idea that I would know that. How could I?
Mm-hmm. Well, a great analogy that I talk about those instances is the analogy of your personal computer, right, which is our left brain ego, which is all we think we know. And then when you hook up to the internet, you're accessing a field that's not on your personal computer. And that's what you're doing in your psychic readings. You're accessing the field.
It is. But our personal computer is actually a part of the universal computer.
Yes, but people have been limited to thinking, this is my information, this is what I've learned, this must be what I know. But when we realize that we're online and we have access to a universal field, then there's stuff that we didn't feed into our information that comes to
us. And we're learning that our brain isn't where everything is stored. Our brain is a processor of what's stored around us. In our energy field, that's patterns. Our energy is not just, clouds. It's actually patterns of information. Fractal patterns that have a special design that actually holds reality, holds knowledge, holds truth. And our brains know how to source that from that.
Our brain is the hardware. The radio is not necessarily creating the information. The radio is a signal.
Exactly.
So
our brains are like the radio.
Yeah. Right. If the radio, stops working, it doesn't mean the signal has stopped, right?
Right.
So we're picking up signals.
Right. And even though we know a lot of brain science and we can say, oh, this happens in this part of the brain, that happens in
that. This is how the radio works.
Exactly.
But it doesn't tell you where the signal's coming from.
Exactly. That's such a good analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
So knowing that, living in a world where we're more multi-conscious is so helpful. Mm-hmm. And that's expanding, and we do hope, anyway, that moving towards 2012 and putting us more into a galactic alignment will shift frequencies enough so that more and more people have those experiences.
Right. It's like we are developing hyperlinks to this multidimensional self. Most people are not aware. They walk around the world, and that's all they see, what Wilbur calls flatlanders. By understanding we're multidimensional and working the way and living the way that you are living, it expands our culture in ways that we cannot see at this moment. When we become multidimensional as a culture, we get over our petty differences. We realize that what we have in common is the spirit, and that's what needs to be acknowledged.
Right, and more and more that's true. Mm-hmm. Just having this conversation is a reality of what's happening now.
Right, and the people that are listening, that are aware of it, that this makes sense to, they start to form a greater community. Of course, people might be hearing this that makes no sense to, and I'm saying to
they're
you...
They're gone already. They shut their computer off.
But if you are listening and none of this makes sense to you, that's a good thing, because if you stay with it, you start to let these seeds of awareness grow, and one day, maybe something will make sense.
Right.
Because,
well, to all of us, because the world doesn't make sense the
right.
way it's
I'm
behaving.
Not saying I understand it either, but right. it's something in what you're talking about, multidimensionality. I mean, before, like 20 years ago, no one knew what that meant. Now
right.
I have a sense of what you mean because of my own experiences.
Sure.
So it's that people are opening up to these experiences, to acknowledging that they have experience like this, that starts to change their own individual evaluation of who they are.
Right, and who each other is.
Yeah.
And that's how we honor each other more, because we're not just bodies and flesh, and, you know, we're actually multifaceted spiritual people who are all part of the one, the greater one.
Right. Well, that's part of the understanding, is that our bodies don't end at our skin. Like, I can sense what's happening there. I can empathically feel my mirror neurons are mirroring your emotional capacity. I'm encoding your feelings by looking at you into what I'm sensing.
Well, we do that all the time. Everybody does that all the time. We're all reading each other's patterns, and unconsciously, we're living in a vast universe of unconscious knowledge. Everybody has it, and we're just not conscious of why we make the choices we make,
right?
And how we respond to people, and why certain people. What's the chemistry between, you know, what turns us on with certain people and what not? And we don't know. We just know that we get a feeling, but on the unconscious level, we're reading so much of that information.
Right. So let's make it more conscious.
Right.
What are we reading? Okay, let's explore it. I mean, think about Freud. He didn't discover the subconscious, but he categorized it. I'm not saying he was right or wrong, but he took a stab at understanding what the subconscious was. I mean, we've evolved beyond that. So what we need to do now is incorporate the subconscious spiritual impulses and start to speak about them and label them and see the patterns of those things.
Well, that's the point, is right. seeing the patterns, to start living more subtly.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the more we live that, the more we acknowledge that, the more they come into our everyday reality.
Exactly. I know that. The more we're open to a higher consciousness, the more friendly, user-friendly it gets.
Right. And then you can look at someone and say, oh, I've had a past life with that person. Because you're sensing the heart, the sense, the feeling sense. This is what we're here to go deeper into, what it is to feel to be human. It's not an intellectual thing. It's acknowledging the subtleties of our senses and bringing more online about the human experience.
And not having to process it all in the left brain.
Right. It's about feeling. This is our
right.
evolution. How are you feeling? How are we sensing our felt intuitive self? Intuition is a feeling.
But see, it's also about giving up our survival tendencies, because right. you know, so much of our lives, or all of our lives, really, are based on what we've learned to survive, and the fear involved with that. And everything is based on even happiness is
yeah, but,
based on survival.
But when you look at the news, Peter, and you're looking at the disaster in Japan, where, you know, a million people are now living at the edge of survival in a homeless, you know, sense, how do you go beyond survival?
Well, that's where we're being pushed, you know, and there is no simple answer except to understand that this is a transitory reality that we're in, and we do have to be responsible for it. But there are patterns going on that are self-destructive, that are planetary destructive, too. We've mm-hmm. made Mother Earth very unhappy.
Right, right, right.
And so there's an awful lot that I think will happen ongoingly now, planetarily, that can be very upsetting. Mm-hmm. And maybe we do need to hold things in, for one thing, a smarter way, so that we can build a society that isn't so vulnerable, but also a smarter way that understands each other much more holistically.
Right. So I get what you're saying is if we start to live in harmony with a planet that is changing, and we start to feel more of our sense, and we start to trust our intuition in the sense that we, as we go beyond survival, we trust that there's a part of us that will know what to do, but the part that will know how to live in harmony with the environment around us will take us to the next level of our civilization.
And yeah, and that's what Lynn McTaggart's book is a new yeah, book is yeah. about is mm-hmm. how to bond as a society in ways that work.
Exactly, and I think I'll get her as a guest on this show when she comes here in June.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but it's exciting because I think you're right. How do we trust? How do we get over our fear? How do we go? Going beyond survival means trusting that the life force has put us here to evolve the consciousness. I think that's part of it.
Well, we are. I think we're all here for a purpose. We've chosen to be in this reality at this time because we need people who are leaders to open up awareness in others and make it okay.
But
and you're doing that, and you're finding other people who are doing that.
But the big thing is what Heraclitus said in the 5th century B.C., the great enlightened Greek scholar.
Oh, you knew him too?
Yeah, I did. He said, expect the unexpected because it's difficult and hard to find. We have to constantly be on the lookout for something beyond our assumptions. So what's going to happen, what's been predicted to happen in 2012 by someone like Terence McKenna, he says the fractal nature of time is getting more and more compressed. And then at sunrise on December 21st, 2012, we go into a whole new novel direction that's never happened. The patterns stop right there. And he says at this point, history will be history. And something new emerges that's
right.
beyond the human capacity to know at this moment.
Right, but it's kind of, you know, it changes things to start. It doesn't change things completely yet because now you have to start living in that new reality.
Right, but we have to be open that there's a new reality to live in. We have to embrace these new inventions that are coming instead of... I mean, government should legislate the control oil companies have, and they should start to investigate in a very aggressive way new energy technologies. That's part
well,
of the
already, shift. There's so many technologies ready that are already invented.
Yeah, but they're not being embraced.
No,
they're
no,
being suppressed.
The idea is to get to a place. I did a show not long ago on the Renaissance, and the Renaissance, Italian Renaissance, happened because life wasn't working out. So now we're ready for the next renaissance because life hasn't been working out. Mm-hmm. We have to embrace what's new, create a renaissance, and then take off with it.
Renaissance is the key, and we are coming into a renaissance, you know what, of spirit, of intuition, of knowing, of multidimensionality. This is the renaissance that the human being is flowering into as we progress
right.
in our own evolution. It's very exciting times, this renaissance of ideas, of feeling, of intuition.
We're about to go off the air, so Alan Steinfeld, who are you?
I'm an explorer of the unknown, and that's been my own individual path. How do I know more than what I thought I knew a second ago? And dialoguing and understanding and opening the mind to new possibilities is what I'm here to do and share.
And how do people find out about your sharing?
Okay, on newrealities.com, it's a whole site dedicated to this exploration. I have a television show every Monday night on Manhattan Cable, 9 p.m., Channel 57, also about this exploration. I'm open to people emailing me at newrealities@earthlink.net. If you have any new ideas, contact me. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you so much, Alan Steinfeld. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.